Today's program was brought to you by Roth Cheese, a pioneer in the U.S. specialty cheese movement. For more information, visit rothcheese.com.
I'm HRN's Communications Director, Kat Johnson, with a preview of the next episode of Meat and Three, our weekly food news roundup. We're fresh off our trip to Slow Food Nations in Denver, a festival that brought together advocates to discuss the future of food. And this week, we're bringing you a special episode inspired by the new Equity, Inclusion, and Justice Manifesto released by Slow Food USA.
If we're going to solve food security, we need to say these people have a right to good, healthful food. But we have to do that in a way that kind of insulates this system from the vagaries of the market.
Because when you're at a table with somebody, you recognize their humanity. And when somebody cooks for you and serves you food, in a way they're saying they care about your survival.
How can we put things into our own hands and have the people of Puerto Rico gain real access to healthy local foods?
Listen to Meat and Three this week for our highlights from Slow Food Nations, available on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello and welcome to Cutting the Curd. This is your host, Elena Santigade, and today we're heading to the dairy state closest to my heart, Wisconsin. In 2011, American original Evalon won the United States Championship Cheese Contest Best of Show, and the dynamic family-run team at LeClaire Farms found themselves on a national stage. Since then, the dairy has expanded operations by doubling the number of goat milk suppliers, and they've led efforts to create a set of quality standards for goat milk in Wisconsin. LeClaire Farms now offers over 10 different varieties of cheese using goat and cow's milk that in all have won 27 different awards. I'm thrilled to have LeClaire Farms head cheesemaker Katie Furman here with us in the studio today. Thank you so much for being here, Katie.
Thank you so much for having me.
Welcome to Brooklyn.
Thank you.
So at this point, you are producing dairy products at all ends of the spectrum, from fluid milk and yogurt to hard-aged Evalon and cave-aged Chandoka reserve cheeses. When you first got started, did you have as wide of a product spread, or has your selection changed a lot over time?
It's really changed over time. So just getting into cheese, honestly, I wanted to be able to be a part of the family operation and add some value back to the farm. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't set on a specific type of cheese.
So you didn't have like, oh, I'm dying to make this one style. It was more a general.
Yeah, it was more so, to be involved in it. Mm-hmm. And then as I got involved, then it was like, oh my gosh, I want to make this cheese. I want to make that cheese.
Your creativity was unleashed.
Yeah. So I still would love to be able to do some sort of wash drying cheese, but there's so many factors
into
it.
That can be really tricky. Although I do think there's a big market for wash drying cheese from Wisconsin because it's not such a common style out there.
Exactly. And even the soft surface ripened cheeses is not super common from Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. I'm still working on the Martone, on being able to dial in and get exactly what people are looking for, because sometimes my ideas aren't exactly what people are looking for. So you have to balance those two when you are creating a cheese, and it's really exciting and overwhelming at times.
I'm sure it's like the spectrum of what you could do is huge. And yeah, that sort of touches on my next thought, which is sort of when you're making decisions about what to make, what is that process like? How much of it is informed by your own sort of innate creativity versus sort of like your setup physically or market demands or cost? Like how do you factor all of that in?
Well, all of those are factors. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's really interesting because the first thing that I guess I have to feel it. Hmm. Because if there's somebody that, well, I've gotten this, that people will be like, oh, can you make this cheese for me? And, you know, if they don't feel it, they just are like, oh, well, this will be great because I thought of it and you can just make this for me. Huh. But I've found that if, like, that particular type of cheese isn't speaking to me, it's really hard to dial in on all of the details that go into it.
So interesting.
So I've really found that it has to be a spark, you know, and you really have to understand every aspect that you mentioned, you know. Right. Okay, so I, like I said, I would love to do a wash drying cheese.
Right.
But I'm not really set up to do that. Mm. So it speaks to me. It's something I would love to do. It fits the market. People are looking for it. But we don't really have the logistics to do it.
So that's the piece to... Yeah. The hurdle to get over, in a sense.
Exactly. And there's always one hurdle, you know, and figuring all of that out. Like, so Martone, mm-hmm. when I was looking at developing that, I really, really wanted to be able to offer a surface ripened cheese coming from Wisconsin.
Right.
And, but the batches are so small.
Right.
So
it's a totally different.
I couldn't run it through the pasteurizer, and it has to be pasteurized, you know, because, well, from like my perspective, it has to be pasteurized mm-hmm. Because I didn't want to age it 60 days and have all of those right. extra pieces to it. So it was, you know, so I had to figure out another cheese to balance with that. And that's where Shandoka came alive.
Interesting. So Shandoka came alive basically as an answer to how can I make a large batch, how can I pasteurize a large batch of milk, use some of it for the smaller soft ripened cheese, and what do I do with the rest?
Exactly, exactly. And it was something I really want to do, created something that I was like, oh, okay, we got to figure this out.
Right.
And then David Rogers, our affineur, mm-hmm. he was able to take Shandoka to a whole new level, which I cave. Only dreamt of because right. I didn't have a cave and I didn't have the expertise. Because when you get into cheese making, like, there's one thing about talking about cheese in a vat.
Right.
And making the cheese in the vat.
Right.
There's a whole nother world when you get into the affinage piece of it, because it takes it to a whole different level. And with how much LeClaire has been growing, being mm-hmm. able to balance all of those. Evelyn, we don't encourage the mold growth on the rind.
Right. That rind is very clean.
Exactly. So it's a little tamer to manage that particular cave than mm-hmm. if you're managing something with a wash rind or a natural rind like the cave
you're
age.
Trying to foster more of this sort of like wild growth on those types of rinds. Yeah, that's
exactly.
That's like wrangling a larger herd of wild animals.
Exactly, exactly. And it takes a whole different level of expertise. Right. And some people, like, depending on your size, I think, you mm-hmm. know, some people are really, really good at managing both of those. Mm-hmm. But I knew myself well enough that I was like, if I can't do it right, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah. And it's good to know what your specialty is and what you do. And then to know, okay, with another area of specialization, I need somebody who's focused on that.
Exactly. And that's passionate about it.
Yeah.
Because there's people that are out there that they like it. Mm-hmm. They think it's romantic. They right. think it's nice. But they don't realize all the hard work that goes into right. it. And that's what's so neat about the Cave Age program is David not only understands that whole aspect of it, mm-hmm. but he's willing to do the work behind it.
Right.
And it shows in his work.
So interesting.
It absolutely shows in his
work.
So
is he cave aging on at LeClaire Farms? Is it have you guys developed caves specifically for Shandoka?
We have. And we actually brought that program in-house last April.
Right.
In April of 2017.
Okay.
With some unforeseen circumstances that we were able to capture, and it has been incredible. And, you know, I think there's more connection between the cheese and the cave aging program with having it all on site.
Yeah.
Because when you send it off site, you may not get that feedback right away and right. may not be able to make adjustments that may need to be made. And, so it's created a whole nother level and opportunity for LeClaire. So
yeah, definitely like shortens or like shrinks the feedback loop in that sense.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
So interesting. So in addition to like your product spread and your approach on that side of things, you also offer a few different experiences for visitors. And I was like super excited when I was doing some pre-show research that you even have a whole section on your website about field trips and mm-hmm. how teachers can bring their students to LeClaire Farms. So what was the inspiration for that program? How long has that been going on? And it looks like it's pretty robust in that you also develop curriculum mm-hmm. for the teachers and even can tailor it to students of different ages. So Tell me a little bit about how that got started and how it's going.
So something that's really unique about LeClaire is we're very family owned. Well, we're family owned, but we're very family operated as well.
Right. You have many, many siblings.
Many siblings. I've heard of all of these.
Yeah, this is quite the family affair.
So there's four out of the five of us kids that are involved on a daily on a daily basis in the operation. And we all have our different expertise. So with that, my mom was a high school ag teacher. She was a high school ag teacher for 39 years.
Wow.
The longest female ag teacher in the state of Wisconsin.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Yay, and mom. Her name is Claire also, right?
Exactly.
Yay, Claire.
So that's where Larry and Clara is LeClaire.
LeClaire, yes. I have a question for about that later.
So my mom's dream was always to be able to, when she retired, she wanted to blow out the classroom walls and still be able to educate people.
I love that.
And now she has that opportunity through LeClaire to be able to get rid of the classroom walls. She obviously understands a curriculum because she's done that a couple of times, you know.
For a few years.
And be able to take agriculture to the classroom. And something that she learned in her career, or she saw in the transformation of her career over the 39 years, was she taught in Chilton, which is about 15 minutes away from where the farm is.
Yep.
And that's the town we grew up in. Very rural community.
Right.
And a lot of the kids grew up on farms. So as the ag teacher, as the high school agriculture teacher, she went out to all of these kids' farms and she would meet the families and figure out what the kids were involved in and really learn about that. Well, then about halfway through her career, she transferred schools and she went to West De Pere High School. And it was the complete opposite. It was it was a city, and she now was bringing the goats because we have a goat farm.
Right.
She was bringing the goats into the classroom to bring the agriculture to the kids because most of these kids were very, very interested, but they were never on a farm.
Totally different.
So she was able to kind of switch that and be able to give them that opportunity, which has been incredible. Wow. Something she did was, which I found really, really neat, was through the fair, through the county fair program.
Oh, yeah. Wisconsin fair programs. Big.
A big deal for this us.
Worth a trip, listeners, if you've never been to, especially state fair.
Yeah, the Wisconsin State Fair is quite incredible. But like, it's the opportunity for the farmers to show off what they've been doing all year. And so something she did with the local county fair was, she would actually bring all of her high school students to our farm. They would pick out a goat. They would learn how to train this goat, teach them how to like walk and go to the fair.
Right.
These kids would have to trim the animals, all of this stuff.
Wow.
Get them all prepped for the fair time. And then they would be responsible for taking care of the animals at the county fair. So giving them an experience that they never would have had the opportunity to because they're not going to raise the animals every day.
Right, right.
So that's where the field trip program, because at LeClaire, we really wanted to be an agritourism destination.
Yeah.
We really wanted to educate people on every aspect of where does the product come from,
right,
and be able to give them that full experience. So you can come out to the farm, you can watch goats being milked, you can see the cheese being made, and then you can also eat the product in the cafe,
right,
or take some home through
and
the
I
retail
saw
store.
You also have like you have sort of specific events too, like there's a I think there's a beer dinner that now I'm like dying to go to. It sounds so good. And I love Wisconsin beer. So thinking of that with your cheese, oh my gosh, on the farm.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's so awesome. And, you know, originally when we started these out, we were like, oh, farm dinners. And then as we got into it, we're like, wait, we do dinner on the farm every day.
Every day.
Every day. Like, so that's where we really looked at, okay, how can we offer a different experience and being able to bring in beer producers and pair it with the cheese? Because, you know, a lot of people do the wine and cheese, but in Wisconsin, beer, we have such amazing beer.
There's incredible beer. And I find that the beer and cheese pairing is a lot more forgiving. And
yes.
I mean, I love wine and cheese, don't get me wrong, but I think that pairing beer with cheese can be so much fun.
Exactly. And it's just such a spectrum. And you know, I feel like Wisconsin people get beer a little bit more than they do the wine because we have a little different terroir to raise, you know, we're just not making as much wine.
There's some sweet wines out of Wisconsin that are kind of fun. Yeah. But yeah, it's true. It's definitely a more beer focused state. Well, now I've got to go like, let me go like book my trip here. I'm coming. Okay. So we're hearing about the agribusiness that is LeClaire Farms in Wisconsin, and we have Katie Furman here with us, and we're going to take just a quick break and we'll be back to talk about more cheese.
Today's program was brought to you by Roth Cheese, a pioneer in the U.S. specialty cheese movement. Roth is in its 25th year of making specialty cheese in the rolling hills of southern Wisconsin. With strong Swiss heritage, Roth is best known for its award-winning Alpine-style cheeses under the name Grand Cru. Fresh Wisconsin milk, combined with expertise in affinage, is how Roth creates high-quality, great-tasting cheese year after year. In 2016, hard work paid off when out of over 2,000 contenders, Roth Grand Cru Sirchois was named world champion at the World Cheese Championship. For more information, visit rothcheese.com.
Welcome back to Cutting the Curd. I'm here with head cheesemaker of LeClaire Farms, Katie Furman, talking about the dynamic operation they have going in southeastern Wisconsin. It's Malone, to be exact, right? Okay, so before the break, we were talking about the multifaceted business operations at LeClaire Farms. And Katie, you know, I'd like to dial in on your experience as head cheesemaker a bit more. Okay, so now listeners, since we're on the radio, let me paint a quick picture for you. Katie and I are here in the studio and she is pretty pregnant. It was hard for me to not scrap my entire show plan to just ask you about making cheese while you're pregnant. And this is also going to be your third?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yes. So, first question, are you still in the make room at this point? Are you still making cheese?
Yes.
Okay. And how far along are you?
Right now, I'm 31 weeks, so just over 7 months.
Oh, man. Oh, man. In the make room. That's a heavy lift, literally.
It is.
So, you know, pregnancy aside, being a mother to two and now almost three, that's a huge lift in and of itself. And I'm always interested in the intricacies of working moms and how they juggle everything. And, you know, thinking about this discussion comes up a lot, I think, among men and women. But cheesemaker isn't usually the profession that people talk about when they're discussing, like, how do I have a good work-life balance? It's more like the corporate 9-to-5 or something a little more traditional in that sense. So, you know, what did you expect before you became a cheesemaking mom? You know, before you had your first sort of, what were your expectations about how that would work out and how has it been?
Well, I guess I'm not the type of person to think about that side of it, that how is this actually going to work? I just figure it
just
out as we
in.
Go. Like, we're doing this.
That might be better.
Yeah. It is way better. I highly recommend it.
I need to go further in that direction. Sometimes I'm my own worst enemy in that sense.
Yeah, because so with my first two, my first one, we had our very first food safety audit the day he was born.
Oh my God. No.
I called my brother and I was like, it was 3 o'clock in the morning. And I was like, well, actually it was 2:30 because I start at 3. And I said, Greg, this is the call you've been waiting for. So you better head in and get started so you can get cheese going before the inspector showed up.
Right. Oh,
and the good thing is that inspectors are 9-to-5. So
so you had a few hours to figure out what he was doing.
Yeah.
That's good.
And then with my second one, I went to the creamery, got the cheese started. I called my husband and I got there and I was like, hey, this is happening. Like, we're doing this.
And then you got the cheese started?
Yeah. So I got the cheese started and then we went to the hospital.
A hero to working moms here in the studio. Watch out.
But it's so funny because I didn't think of it at that time. You know, mm-hmm. like hindsight's 20/20, right? So you look backwards and you're like, oh,
that was nuts.
Maybe I shouldn't have did that, but oh well. So
there's also the Midwestern, that sort of robust element to Midwesterners that I feel very, as coming from a Midwestern family myself, I feel very proud of that sort of like, yeah, we're just going to do it. We're going to do everything we need to do.
And then we're just going to keep gonna going.
Get done, yeah.
And he was, my brother's like, so my kids, and I credit this to the cheese making, but both of my kids, like my labors were relatively manageable. Mm-hmm. And so my brother's like, well, it's 8:30. You could come back now. I was like, no, I just had a kid.
Like actually, I'm going to take the day off. I'm gonna, maybe tomorrow.
Yeah. And the next 6 weeks. Like, we're not going to rush this.
And
but,
so you did take a 6 week maternity leave? Is that what you've been doing?
Which was really, really important to me. And this is a big piece of being able to work with my family and such an incredible team too. Right. And actually, I think it made me a better cheesemaker because of the fact that it disciplined me. I knew I wasn't going to be there.
Right.
And I knew I wasn't going to be able to, you know, tell everybody, okay, we got to do this next. We got to do this next. So I really counted on my team, and it forced me to train them better and make them see the things I was seeing, understand the things I was understanding as we're making cheese so that, you know... What if I would have had complications? What if, you know, it would have been a challenge, you know, then I wouldn't have been able to be there. And I didn't feel like I could just let everything that my family has worked for just kind of fall apart because I wasn't going to be there. And so it really, really has disciplined me as a person because I really want to spend that time with my kids. I want to be able to see them grow up. I want to be involved in what they're doing. And so like for just last January about, I transitioned out of the pasteurizer operator role. But as the pasteurizer operator and the startup cheesemaker, you're starting at 3 o'clock in the morning, which was actually really great for a work-life balance for me.
Interesting.
Because as a cheesemaker, it's 10 to 12 hour days every day.
Right.
You know, and owner type thing, you know. But it was nice because then I was done early enough in the afternoon and I could enjoy that time with my kids. But transitioning out of that, I'm not as tired in the afternoon either.
Nice. So what time does your day start now?
Now I start, well, it all depends what we're working on. Sometimes I'll start at 3, sometimes, but a lot of times it's between 6 and 7.
Oh, much more manageable. That's like more in the realm of the reality I know.
Yeah, but the hard thing is I'm an early morning person. So like when it gets to that afternoon, whether I start at 6 or 7 or 3, I'm still tired in the afternoon.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm ready to go home, but honey, you got to keep going because you've only been here for 8 hours, you know?
Oh man.
So yeah.
Interesting. So, you know, there are so many like good lessons that you've just shared with us on that. And do you think that, you know, I talk to a lot of people in the cheese industry, both on the production side, but also, retailers and just people really interested in cheese, which is such an unusual profession, you know, at any sort of link in the supply chain. But do you have any advice for women and men who are thinking about starting families, who are nervous about making it all work? Do you think there's anything that people can do if they don't have, you know, this amazing sort of familial structure to their businesses that would help?
I just think it's surrounding yourself with good people.
With good people.
You know,
yeah.
Building a good foundation of your team, because they're the ones that help you get through the tough times and the long days and hey, my kid is sick today, or you know, and you treat them the way you want to be treated. And I think that's what like is so valuable about our team, because it's like, oh, you wanted today off? Okay, we'll cover for you, no problem.
That's great.
And you never make people feel bad about it, or hey, your kid is sick today. My kid might be sick tomorrow, you know, and you're always working together on that. And you know, it's really interesting. I'm going to kind of talk a little bit on the female side in the creamery, because you know, it's interesting. In the state of Wisconsin, we have about 1200 licensed cheesemakers.
Yeah.
And about 60 of them are actually women.
That is wild.
Which is crazy. And it's really an interesting thing to think about, but when you think about the work that goes into cheese making,
sort of physical nature,
yeah, exactly. And to think about doing that at, you know, an extra 20 to 30 pounds heavier, you know, and this like awkward belly in front of you and, you know, and trying to do that, you do rely on the other people in the creamery to help you through that. And a big reason that we kind of see the difference in the men versus the women is because of the physical side of it. It is a lot of work, and our bodies are designed differently. But that's what's neat in our creamery is that, like, we have a really good balance that we had a cheesemaker from another creamery that started by us. And the first week he was like, let me
oh, he was trying to be, are you saying he was being chivalrous in the maker?
Yeah, it was so sweet though.
That's great.
You know, and because he had come from working with all men.
He wasn't used to it.
He wasn't used to it at all.
A different world for him a little bit. Wow, that's so interesting.
And it was so funny watching him. And now, like,
he's comfortable.
Yeah, yeah, he's totally comfortable. And it's just so funny because, like, everybody, like, when guys start with us, they have to go through that kind of transition stage to understand everybody's role because it's really interesting, the different aspects. And, like, even in the vat, the way that different people will see different things. Like, me and one of the other girls, we just really, really click. And, like, we can just look at each other and just know.
More of an intuitive communication happening there.
Yep. And it's just so funny because then like, her and I will try to explain it to one of the other cheesemakers and, you know, try to. But sometimes when you're looking at it from a female perspective versus a male perspective, you just don't see it as well. So it's better to show. And
interesting.
It's just, and I personally think it's a really good balance because it just brings different aspects. And then the guys will see things differently than we do, and they'll show us so that we're all on the same page because we're all looking at it from such different perspectives. It's so it's really, really neat.
Really neat. And it's fun to hear that you have women and men in the make room. You know, cheesemakers that I've worked for mostly have been all male or maybe like one or two women who sort of rotate in and out. So that's really neat. I think sounds fun. I want to come make cheese in your make room.
And we always like laugh like, hey, why are there so many guys in here? Don't leave me alone. But we have fun with it. We have such a good crew. Like I said, building that foundation.
That's what it's all about.
Mm-hmm.
So on that note, in terms of one thing I was struck by doing as I was like thinking about LeClaire Farms and reading up about you guys a bit is how you've named your cheeses. And, you know, you mentioned in the first half of the show that LeClaire is actually the mix of your dad's name, Larry, and your mom's name, Claire. But also your cheeses, there's like grandmas involved in the names. Tell us about how some of these cheeses have been named.
So it was really special. My parents, when they first got married, a lot of their friends would kind of run their name together and just say LeClaire, you know?
You know, that's actually, that got super popular with hashtags and social media now. Your parents were ahead of the game.
They were, yeah. I'll tell them they're hip.
Yeah, tell them. I heard you're hip on social media.
And so we had Evelyn created for us. Mm-hmm. Somebody developed the recipe. So when they were looking, when my mom and dad were looking to name Evelyn, they wrote down, they had like two or three pages of names.
Wow.
And Evelyn was the only one that spoke to them. Huh. And it was named after my dad's grandma.
Hmm.
And my dad was the oldest grandkid.
Uh-huh.
So he was super close with his grandma and grandpa.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's kind of funny because their oldest grandchild is Claire. And which is named actually after my mom.
Your mom, yeah.
And because my sister is Anna Clara.
Huh.
And then her daughter is Clara Anna.
Wow.
And my mom is Clara Anna and her mom is Anna Clara. And, you know,
I love
so
this.
It's just kind of fun, you know, and so it really fits into our family. Mm-hmm. So, and my dad was extremely close to his grandparents. Mm. And my great grandparents, I knew my great grandparents, they lived until I was in college. You know, a lot of people don't have that experience.
That's amazing.
To actually grow up with them. And, you know, so there were a lot of great memories to be able to tie that into it. And then when I was looking to create Martone and Shandoka, I really wanted to tie that family dynamic in from both sides, from my dad's side and my mom's side, and continue to kind of build off of that Evelyn. And Evelyn was so special to us.
Right.
Actually, I took Shandoka is my grandma and her, my grandma and her three sisters. So
it's like a combination of their three names.
Exactly.
Oh,
and my great grandma came up with that. And that's what she named the property in which LeClaire Farms is built on today.
Wow.
She named that Shandoka Farms.
I love it.
So that's where Shandoka comes from.
Interesting.
So it's Charmaine and Donna and Kathy.
Oh my gosh. This is so wonderful. Well, I love how, first of all, like the whole family affair of it all is amazing and just, and it makes me feel all the warm feels inside. And then also, you know, what I'm struck by is how much you're, it sounds like you really look for inspiration in what you do. And, you know, this idea that if you're not taken by something, then there's not as much value there. And I think that's so important in work and life, and it's just a great way to live. So
it's true. And I think a lot of us look for that. Mm-hmm. We want that, something that we feel good about doing every day,
right.
And that we're, you know, passion's a big word.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you can't create it.
Right.
It's either in you or it's not. And, you know, I never realized that until, you know, you're look like you try to create cheeses for other people and, you know, you
different.
Realize you're like, wait a second. Like, I really have to get into into them.
Something's missing otherwise.
Exactly. And just to create it, to actually like execute it appropriately. And,
right.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, there's a lot of passion at LeClaire Farms, obviously, and I can't wait to visit. Katie, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank
this has
you.
Been wonderful.
Thank you.
And listeners, you'll have to go out and check out some Evalon, some Cave Age Shandoka, and the Martone when it's out.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Well, I'll see you in Wisconsin, Katie.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Listeners, thank you for listening. I'm Milena Santigade, and we'll be back next week with more Cutting the Curd.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at @heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.
Though I've been so blue, I've prayed each night for sleep.